have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yeah, K-Web, we got the messenger, Scoop, God Squad, what up, Grace? Yeah, hey, check this out.
Yeah,
hey, I got favor.
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Who?
Hey, I got faith. Live the life of sin. I thank God that I'm alive. Guns drawn at me at 16. I didn't die. People thought I'd be in jail cause I used to steal. But I never been to jail. I'ma keep it real.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus turned my life around and he let me know.
Let me know.
If you keep sinning, man, in hell is where you finna go.
Go.
Then he gave me a wife and a family. Tons of blessings, now I'm stunting on the enemy.
Stunt.
I live for Christ, I ain't perfect, I ain't hurting. Tell the devil I'm with Jesus cause I know he out here searching. Man, I'm working on the beat. For the Lord, you know I'm wildin'. And as long as Jesus with me, I'ma always keep on smiling.
Hey, I got favor.
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor,
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Walk through the storm, search for my spiritual. Pushed by the wrongs, persuaded by material. Sunday it was church, Monday back to thugging. Tuesday on the block, Wednesday I was lusting. Thursday chased girls, Friday played how. 30 I was sipping, your boy was wilding out. He's bringing out the best now, I'm poking out my chest now. Somebody's name, no lie, feeling fresh now.
Glory.
These spiritual weights got me strong in the word. I'm drunk in the gospel, the reason I swerve. My picture was blurry, so my father repainted. My soul was dirty, tossed it up and reclaimed.
Hey, I got favor.
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Yeah.
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Okay, now won't he do it? You ain't gotta put no logic to it. You ain't gotta put no signs to it or no bastard to it. In the natural, when the spirit moving, I love my God. Got me walking straight with my head high and I ain't never being no stunt guy. Got two kids and a blessed wife. God cooks his favorite punch and I'm all in. Got room, wanna serve a bunch. Don't walk all filled up. Never knew it was there. Now you stand it with your hands up. That's when that hand touch and the glory of God drop in about the flood up. Everybody put a praise up cause I'ma do it within. You got a heartbeat, stand up. This world can't tame us when we know the deal. You stressing, sitting, guessing if the love is real. My favor ain't determined by my shining will. God is all I know. I know it is serious.
Hey, I got favor.
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Who?
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yeah, I got favor. Hello, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to Elation Radio. Sister Kimmy Kim. There's Minister Cedric. Thank you for tuning in to Relentless Pursuit. Ah, man, it has been wonderful. It's been a wonderful, wonderful week. It's been a wonderful day, and I'm happy to be back. I want to encourage everybody to just every day take a deep breath, go through at least 10 seconds of just personal meditation while you're soaking up the glory that God is giving you in that moment. Just a deep breath. All it takes is one. Hold it. Let it out slow. Take that 10 seconds and just appreciate the gifts that God has given you. All right. So with that said, I want to bring on my partner, Jason. Jason, you on with me tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good. Kind of mellow tonight, but I'm feeling real good. I wanted to bring you in. How was your day? How was your week, actually?
Good week. You know, started a new job, you know, so got that journey going on with me. But everything else is going well, fam. Doing well and stuff like that. You know, how about your week? How's your week been?
You know my week, man. I started off with some with some hospital visits, and I ended them with them. But you know what? I just couldn't be much happier. I had some challenges. Had some real challenges in my week, but, you know, it's amazing how when we're challenged, the first thing we ask God to do is take us away from it. And I think what happened to me this week, I found myself accepting not responsibility, but accepting that life is going to deal you some tough situations sometimes. You know what I mean? And that's where I've been this week. I've been thinking. I've been praying. Ironically, it's funny. I never prayed a prayer to say, God, take this away from me. I do sometimes say, Lord, I thank you for trusting me too much because I just got a hospice visit. And that's when he said, you know, I believe that at that point. He says, nah, you ain't got to worry about it because if you give it to me, I got it. So with that being said, I wanted to talk with you a little bit tonight. And, you know, hopefully you can help me out. I just want to kind of enlighten people on life's tough situations. You know, how do we get through them? What is the secret that we find in the Word of God that helps us get through some of our tough situations? What do you think about that?
I like that. I like that. That sounds real good.
Yeah, because, I mean, have you ever been through a situation or been in a situation? Let's say you didn't even make it, I don't know. You may be in the situation, I don't know. But have you been in a situation where you're just like, man, I cannot get a handle on this. I don't have control of this. Have you ever been there? What's the first thing that you do?
The first thing that I do is try to just kind of like relax. Right, you know, and just figure out, like, what am I dealing with? What really am I dealing with? And get control of my emotions, right?
Okay, because I'm with you on that. When you get, what was the first thing you said to you? You say you stop and then you do what?
Try to get control of my emotions.
Oh, you get, now when you get control of your emotions, once you're in total control of emotions, what's the first thing about this situation, any other situation, that you realize?
Just like anything else, it's temporary. Right?
It's temporary, which means God is in control. And we know that when God is in control of a thing, he controls how long it goes, right?
Right.
I think what we forget to do is to recognize God is in control, but we also forget to accept, like what you just did. We accept that before we can move forward in anything, we got to realize God's in control because if we don't accept that, we ain't gonna ever go on. You can't go forward. It's only by His divine, I believe, it's only by His divine reason that we can, that these situations arise and that we have the opportunity and the capability to conquer them all. It's only through his intervention. Am I right?
Yep.
Or am I making this up?
No, I think that's key, right? When you realize that the situation you're in is not one that is really in your control or really in your doing, it actually, people think like, oh, I don't have control, you know, what am I going to do, right? But in reality, that's kind of the most freeing situation, right? Because now it's not, you're no longer worried about like making a mistake or what do I need to do next. It's like, well, God's got this under control. All I need to do is just figure out, you know, how do I connect, how do I partner with him as we go through this together.
Yeah, I like how you said that because a lot of times Christians, what we believe is all we got to do is sit back, pray, meditate, and God going to just fix it. No, God still wants us to do our human duty. So we have to develop a plan our own selves, right? And it's not for the problem, it's the plan for us. Control the one thing in the situation that you can control. See, a lot of people forget this, Jason. The one thing in every situation that you have control over and you have to maintain complete control over is thyself.
Right.
Oh, man, so they be, yeah, I can hear them now. They're coming at me, Jason. See, what I'm saying is when you control yourself, you kind of think of a plan. Thinking of a master plan. Eric B. said it best. Thinking of a master plan. Ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So when you start thinking of your master plan, it's not that you're going to conquer this problem. I think your master plan should be how you're going to follow God and allow God to lead you through this problem. You see, sometimes God does not want us to just jump up and let's use, for instance, there's a bird that keeps flying by your house, and every time he flies over your car, he leaves you a little package. I don't want me. It may not be meant for me to go out there and grab a pellet gun and shoot this little birdie. God may want me to simply, what? He may say, move your car. He may say, wash your car. He said, why don't you put out a little bird feed and maybe they won't poop on you. You know what I'm saying? God has a way, and the way he does that is when we sit, we meditate. We meditate on his word, and we focus on what he wants us to do. I think a lot of times we try to fix everything, every little thing ourselves. But I want to encourage people through this. When we start going through difficult times, like what I'm going through right now, and everybody knows this. I've stated it a few times. I'm not ashamed. I'm not even really all that private about it. All you got to do is ask, and I tell you. So with this battle that I'm facing, I know that there is a limit on how long I can be sick. You ever thought about that?
No, in a true statement, you're right.
Yeah, but have you ever just sat and focused on it and thought about that for just a few minutes of your life?
No,
God
I
has a limit on how long I'm going to have difficult times in my life. And when you thought about it, what did you get? What did God give you back? Anything or nothing?
Well, when you put it in that capacity, that there's a limit on it, I think it helps because when you're in that moment, you feel like it's going to last forever, right? You're not feeling like, oh, this is only temporary or, oh, you know, this is going to end at some point. It's that sometimes that feeling of I'm going to be doing this for a long time and that kind of that unknown feeling that I don't know what I'm dealing with. But the great thing about it, when you start putting it in that perspective to say, like, hey, you know, God has already put a limit on how long we're going to be doing this, it to your point, it kind of puts you back in that same mode where you're like, well, you know, I don't have to worry about the timing of it or the when this is going to go away. Because ultimately, you know, God got it all under control.
I'm going to go back to, I think that scripture is Romans 28. And in Romans 28, he talks about It says basically, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in His, Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, a lot of us, we forget. This is how you know, in my opinion, this is how you know that there are limits. When you're going through a tough time, there are limits. And since God created all things, you know, you're one of those things that He created, right? And when you think about this, it's I think one of the reasons why we have these reactions we have towards struggles or trials is that we don't fully know or understand what God is doing. And I think that what we have to do, yes, I really think what we have to do is we have to sit back and relax. So this is hard, man. It's hard. Because, you know, like I believe the first thing we got to do is we got to accept the reality of our situation, right? All things were made by Him, and without Him, here it is, was nothing made that was made. Right? Without God, there's nothing made. Anything that was here had to come through Him. It was made by Him. And we have to really think about God's sovereignty. If you know, if God told you, Jason, that you were going to be 7 feet tall, and by the time you turned 18, you were only 6'9", would you lose faith in God's word?
I mean, that's the thing. So you talk about God's sovereignty, but there has to be a level of trust. You know, and I'll tell you, in my early life, no, if I didn't see things happen, especially on what I feel like was the appropriate timing, I would start to question, is this really going to happen, right? But it's only when I started to really trust Him did I realize, okay, I can trust Him.
So what did it take? What did it take for you to finally come to the realization that I can trust him?
I think it's that first step. And I tell you honestly, first practically step. For me was journaling, right? And I was, you know, when I first started, got back in the church, you know, I had a great man of God tell me, man, write down your thoughts, write down your fears, write down your concern. And then when you journal, sometimes write it like you're talking to somebody, like you're talking to God. And just really pour out your heart. And I would do that, right? And I mean, no matter what I was going through, I would pour it out. And then, you know, he also told me, then, you know, wait about six to 8 months and go back and reread it. And when I go back and when I went back and reread it, it would take me back to that same feeling, that same emotion. And I would realize how bad I felt at that moment. And then I look at my life and, right, now look at my life in the present, and I'm like, man, look what I got delivered through, right? Because in that moment, it felt real, it felt valid, it felt like this is going to go on forever, how am I going to do it? And I just, each day was just a step in faith. And then when I look back 6 to 8 months later, I realized I thought that was the worst time in my life, and look how faithful God was, you know, to me. And you know, I did that a couple of times. Now it's to the point where I'm like, I'm good, God. You've already proven yourself time and time again. So, you know, I can trust you. Now, that doesn't take away my initial response. Oh, man, what's going on? My feelings, my emotions, my worry, my concern. But when I, like I said, when I get those emotions in control, it allows me to get back to my truth.
Allows you to get back to your truth. You know, that's funny because it brings up the story of Job. You remember the story of Job, right? You remember
right.
The story when Satan was walking around saying he was the devourer. Had nerve to approach God about it then. Nerve to talk to God. Yep. He said, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then what's the next thing he told Satan? He said, You know that, man, you find that, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but saved his life. Uh-oh. What did that tell you? When you read that, when you read those scriptures, I read Job 1:12 and Job 2:6. What does that tell you about God and his sovereignty? Do you get anything for that? Because honestly, the first time I read it when I was a youngster, I was like, man, God is a traitor, man. He sent that man over to the dock. He told the devil to have him. He said, don't kill him. Do what you want to him. But don't kill him. What? If I take my kids and my money and my land and my crops and what? And then you don't kill me. I mean, that for me is, what does that tell you about how great God is? And again, remember, I was talking about the God limits our difficulties, but I also want to encourage people with these scriptures is to tell them that Satan has a limited power, right? He has limited power. How do you know? How do you know that when we get into tough times, Jason, just by reading Job, just those passages I just read, how do you know Satan has limited power? A lot of times people don't think about that, but how would you say it?
Well, I would say, you know, based on the fact that he had to ask God, right? You know, he had to inquire with God about God had to give his permission, right?
Right.
To be able to say, okay, yes, you know, what about my servant Job? You can touch him, right? You know, the fact that God had to give that permission for that to happen tells you that, hey, we're in a position where that sovereignty that we talk about with God is for real, right?
It's for real. I want you not to forget the other part. I want you to not forget Job 2 and 6 where he says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. There it is, but save his life. In other words, the power is limited. First off, he's got to ask God for permission. And second off, God says, but you got limits on it. So God put him in restraint. In other words, he's in a little straitjacket. Yeah, you can throw he's in a padded room. Yeah, you can throw a temper tantrum, but you can only touch what I allow to be in that little room. You know what I'm saying? And I think
right.
We forget that when times get tough in life. I think we forget it. And all through the Bible, we're warned about tough times. We are warned about these tough times. And a lot of times when we do get in these situations, we forget. We forget how to work it out. We forget how to deal with things. We our planning goes out the window. You know, Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until they get that first punch or until they get hit in the face. I think he said until they get punched in the face. But your plan should not be going away from you. Your plan should be within you. I'm going to worship. I'm going to serve God. No matter what they serve me up with, God is the answer, right? And then I think we forget the limits, but we also forget that, you know what, these trials are going to come. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid of trials, Jason? Why do you think?
I think it's that key part about the emotional part of it. Right, that when you're going through those times, the emotions that you're feeling are negative. They don't feel good. They're not. You know, most people don't celebrate the trials. They're afraid of them. Right, they're afraid of the heartache, the pain it caused, and it's those negative feelings that makes us want to avoid the pain, and make us want to avoid, you know, everything that we're dealing with. So for me, I think that's one of the biggest deterrents to trials is that people like, I just don't want to deal with these negative feelings and emotions.
Tell you what, that is so true. And I struggle to find, how do I say it? I personally struggle to find, sometimes I will struggle to find God's meaning in these tough times. Because, I mean, I was sitting there looking in the mirror the other day, and I was doing my face exercises, right? And I was like, God, why? As I'm going through, I'm going, oh, why? God, you know, and I'm making all these noises because I'm moving my chin and my mouth the way I'm supposed to get this exercise in. But I'm saying, God, I don't see the purpose in this. I don't see the purpose in this. So what do you do when you cannot realize the meaning of that tough time that God has you in? What do you do? How do you learn from it? How do you change your mindset? How do you grow from it? What do you do?
I think, you know, like we said before, it's developing that trust that because, you know, with the understanding that, hey, my vision is limited. I can't see all things that I'm supposed to see, right? But understanding that, okay, even in that limited vision, I know that I recognize that I'm limited in my vision, but I got to trust God with everything, right? I got to trust God with that, with the situation and the circumstances. Be like, okay, yes, I may be limited in my vision, but I trust God in what He can bring, right? And then that's the mission part that we don't like to talk about a lot, right? That humility part that we really don't, you know, say too much about. You know, to say like my thoughts, my feelings, when I'm thinking about this situation, you know, it may not be my reality. You know, I may be dealing with something completely different than what I think I'm dealing with, and I can trust God and be like, okay, God, I trust you, right? I see something. My perception is real, and I, you know, it's not something that I'm going to deny, but I'm also going to understand that my perception is definitely something that is that's based on my own humanity, right?
So,
and there's a divine perception.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What's that one thing you tell people, especially young people, when they talk about their feelings? What did you tell them?
I tell them feelings are
real, valid, and whatever.
But they may not be the truth.
Ah, man, oh, man, oh, man. Say that again. Say it like you said to the kids.
That your feelings are real, they're valid, but they may not be the truth.
Oh my! See, that's what happens when we get in tough times. A lot of times our feelings are real, they're valid, but they're not the truth because God wants to pull you through. And for me that's real important because a lot of people, we go through tough times and we do things that we're ashamed of. We do things that we don't want nobody to know, or we do things and we just wish we could forget, and we freaking forget. But what we also forget is that I think it's Romans 18:6-4, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I think that's what it's saying. So when we come through these difficult times, right, we can actually be stronger by really standing on God, allowing Him to do His thing. Because what does He do when we do that? He reassures us of His grace. He tells us. There's a word tells us everywhere you look. He talks about His grace, His sovereignty. And we forget, because what we do, we think that our problems, and here's where I think we make a mistake. We think our problems are bigger than God. Okay, let me fix that. We make our problems bigger than God. Like what you just said, Jason. Feelings are real. The feelings are valid, but they may not be right. Am I right? Is that what you just said? Is that what you mean?
Right. They may not be
right. Yes. And usually when we're in our feelings, it's not our truth. Tell you something happened to me the other night. Jason, come out of me the other night. It happened to me the other night. I was all in my feelings. I was trying not to be, but I was all in my feelings. And all it took was an instant for me to stop drop and roll. I put the fire. You know what I'm saying? I got up, dust myself off, and said, okay, I'm all in my feelings. And once I admitted it to myself, the plan for me was simple. I admitted I was in my feelings. I'm not going to say what I was thinking I was going to say. I'm not even going to do it. My plan was, I'm going to go to this person, which happened to be my daughter. I'm going to go to this person, and I'm just going to show them love, and I'm going to show them thanksgiving. That's it. That was my plan of execution, and I'm going to tell you something. When I did it, it wasn't about Cedric. It wasn't about being right or wrong. The issue went away. Once I made up my mind to do it, I was no longer stressed about the situation. And I think that's another thing we forget, that our mind, our spirit, man, is connected to God. You believe that?
Yes.
Right here on earth, your spirit, man, is connected to the God in heaven. And so as I think about that, as I grow older, I think about that, and I'm saying there is no problem that is beyond the grace of my God. There is no thing that I've done that is beyond the grace of my God. There is nothing that I've said that goes beyond the grace of my God. Why? Because he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he also says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wait a minute. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How does that make you feel, Jason?
That it's a little intimidating, right? Right? I mean, especially as a man, to know that my weakness. I mean, that's not a word a man really wants to use when talking about themselves, right? And to know that, you know, as a man of God, to know that I really want to access God's strength, and I want to really, you know, have that, you know, in my life, to know that I can gain that through a very uncomfortable position in my own weakness, right? You know, a place where I don't really like to be, a place that I don't really want to be. But to know that if I allow myself to go there, God has already promised a strength like a strength that I would probably never get. So it's not the most comfortable thing. It's an exciting thing, but it's not a comfortable thing.
I'm telling you right now, man. When God starts to move, you know what happened to me 3 years ago, right? I broke my neck. Crushed my C3, 4, 5, and 6 vertebrae. I was paralyzed. Broke my foot, my ankle, my shoulder was torn up. You remember that, right?
Right.
And from 2020 to 2022, I'm still having surgeries from that accident. Ain't that crazy? Here's the crazy part, Jason. The craziest part is this. I fell. Of course, I had 350 pounds on me, but I fell. I'm only 5'3" tall. I fell 5'3" and broke all that. but here's the beauty, and I joke about it now because I feel like I can. The beauty in it was this. The doctor said, I'm probably never going to walk again. You're going to have to get you a chair. I'm going to have to control my movement in this chair with my chin. They want to get me fitted for that, right? The second thing was, if you do show signs of progress, we can't say that you're going to have full movement, that you're going to have full mobility. And everything is about what we can't do. It was never about what God can do. It was never about what God won't do. It was just never about the goodness of God. It was about, hey, this is what science is telling us, and this is what it is. But God said, because my grace is sufficient. That's what he said. He didn't say, man. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Have you ever been so weak where you just couldn't raise your head, you couldn't get up off the ground? I was having all kinds of thoughts. Like, it was visions. So many things happened in that few minutes I was on that ground. And God was steadily working. He was working on my behalf. I believe the angels in heaven, I believe they was there with me. I believe the angels say, you know what, it ain't his turn. maybe they petition God. I don't know, but whatever happened, Jason, it happened. And it has made my faith stronger than it's ever been. My plan was a simple plan. I was talking about that earlier. My plan was simple. You know what my plan was day to day? Do more tomorrow than I'm doing today. Or better than that, I'm going to do more today than I did yesterday. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes doing more today than what I did yesterday was simply moving 5 or 6 inches. It was simply being able to get off the bed without crying. It was simply being able to go and use the restroom without getting it all over the floor. Don't get me started. It was just the simple things in life. It was simple because all I needed to do was learn how to hold my eating utensils so I didn't waste food on my clothes. I'm telling you, it was simple, Jason, and God walked me through it, and I ain't never been a better person for it. I mean, I'm telling you, I understand tough times. I understand difficulties. But what I don't understand, I'm just going to be honest, I don't understand a full quit. Help me with that one. I don't understand not trying. Help me. I don't understand half-heartedness. Help me with it, Jason, because I don't know. Can you help me? Where does that come from? Where do you think that comes from? What can we learn from that right now? We can learn from you about that. Where does that come from?
See, for me, I think those things come from that emotional place, right? Where, and that's why I say feelings are real, right? Because they will have an impact on you. If you feel a certain way about a situation, if you feel a certain way about a circumstance, it can drain you. It can definitely take your energy, and you start to think like, oh, I can't do this. This is too much. You know, you start having all kinds of ideas about your particular situation, and it becomes taxing on you. And I think when you talk about that half-heartedness, when you talk about some of that stuff that you mentioned, I think a lot of that comes from I'm feeling a certain way, and that feeling, you know, is having an impact on me. You know, I'm actually feeling something about this, it becomes very, very difficult. You know, sometimes when you have those feelings, to keep it in context. And like I said, they're real, they're valid, but they don't have to be your truth. And that's the beautiful thing. You know, God doesn't want your feelings to be your truth. He wants to give you a greater truth. And in that truth is a peace, is a joy that you ain't never experienced, that you probably will never come across. And that's the real truth that, you know, really God wants us to operate in.
Yeah, because, see, that's where I'm coming from. That's where I'm coming from. Because, like, I don't know how many people get into situations, these tough times, because I'm a big believer. Like when you're going through something, and I'm talking about it on a secular level as well as a Christian level, because I believe the biggest way to handle things is through Christ. But do you believe when you got to, like, when you acknowledge that situation? Yeah, I just want to recap a little bit. We got about 15 more minutes, but I want to recap a little bit and just kind of touch me because. If you go into a situation and you acknowledge that situation is what it is, you know, you talked about feelings, but when you acknowledge the situation, you acknowledge the problems that exist, it shouldn't matter what you're feeling or how you feel about it. Am I right? You should be ready to face that situation with everything you got. Am I right or wrong? I mean, have you ever seen a situation like that? Because I just told you about mine. That was nothing nobody could do for me. I had to focus on this situation. I'm just recapping now. I had to focus on this situation, Jason. Now, look. I know people say, well, we don't want to hear about you. We want to hear about this. We want to hear about that. I mean, we could talk about Job. Job had to focus on his situation. He didn't know what the problem was. Why? Because he was an upright man. He didn't know why he had these boils all over his body. He didn't know why his wife was saying, you should just curse God and die. He didn't know why his friends came to him and said, Job, you done wrong and made these actions. He, Job knew none of that, but what he did do, he acknowledged that he even had feelings about it. But he stayed firm. And regardless of his situation, he acknowledged it, and he acknowledged God. He couldn't figure out how to change it. Am I right or wrong?
Right. He didn't know what to do about it. That comes back to that trust, that faith, that, okay, God, I don't know what I'm going through or why I'm going through it, but in the end, I trust you.
But how do you develop that faith? How do you personally develop that faith?
I mean, you know, the beautiful thing about a relationship with God is similar to the relationships that we deal with on our secular level. It's getting in a situation that, hey, man, we've gone through this thing a couple of times, right? You know, you and I have done this a couple of times. Okay, this seems like a really tough situation, but you know what? Hey,
yeah.
You know what? We've done this before, and it's that relationship.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, as you and I develop a relationship, we just kind of, you know, the first time I had to call you because I was in trouble and you showed up, it starts to build and develop that relationship. But I had to make the first step and make the call and say, hey, homeboy, man, I don't know what you got going on, but I definitely need you. I definitely need you right now. Right, and that was on me to make that call, right? You know, once you do that, and you just can see how God will always kind of deliver, then at that point, it's just always operating in that, right? Always operating in that capacity where you're like, I know He's got me, so I don't have to worry about
anything. That's
right. I'm in good shape, so I don't have to worry about anything.
And you know what you just did, right? You know what you just did? You did two things. You know, the first thing you did was you developed a plan. Well, you did three. You acknowledged the situation. You developed a plan. And your plan, you realized, ain't nothing I can do about it, right? But what you did was develop a plan, even if you couldn't fix it. Am I right? You developed a plan to cope with it. I'm going to cope with you, God. In other words, people, I'm going to endure this until God sees fit. When He says, your time's up, you know what I'm saying? And then you sought help. You sought help. You didn't need to cry and say, God, pray for me. No, you didn't need to say, Jesus, pray for me. No, you prayed. You sought God's help. You called on God in the name of Jesus Christ. You called on Him. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to feel helpless, I believe. A lot of us don't want to be helpless. But look, it's okay sometimes. Because I'm going to tell you, there were many a days, many a nights when I had to cry out to God and I couldn't talk loud. So it was like a whisper, right? But I tell you what, His eyes on the sparrow and His ears on your whisper too. Even if you can't get it out, just breathe. You know what I'm saying? You got breath in your lungs. Breathe it out. Just give it to Him. And you do that because it is necessary. I don't want to say ask for help from God when it's absolutely necessary. That goes for human beings. But I'm saying when you're in trouble, always ask God. Always ask God. And that's the struggle, Jason. You know, I was that guy who I've been through a lot and I learned a lot. And I'm supposed to be physically capable of doing anything. I couldn't stand up. I could barely go to the restroom by myself. And that took every ounce of energy I had. I'd be asleep for 3 hours once I did it. I promise you, I ain't moved there and back with 10 feet maybe. But guess what I did? I changed the things that I could change. Now, that's the thing I want people to understand. You got to change what you can change. If you can't change something, we can't change how to police. But what you can do, you can change how you address them. You can change the situation. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right.
You know, I told you the story about me dealing with the one cop who I felt really kind of wanted to take that conversation sideways. Honestly, truth be told, people call me bougie. I acted bougie with him. Acted like I understood. I spoke to him and I was very articulate in my speech, but I was also demanding the same type of respect from him that I was giving him. And he reciprocated. Yeah, he was trying to make up stuff, but I was cool with that too, because you know what? I got a defense for that. But what I'm saying is we have to be able to change what we can do. Sometimes you got to change your attitude, right?
Right.
Like you can't change the situation. Like if you got a death in the family, you can't bring that loved one back. But you can change how you choose to view the situation. You can change how you handle it. You know, so one of the things we got to do when we're in tough times, again, I'm recapping. I know I'm talking twice, but I need to say this. I feel like we need this. We got to identify what we can change, right? We already recognize that we got to change our attitude. We got to have a good old attitudinal adjustment, as Major Payne would say. I mean, you like that movie, Major Payne? That's not what you did. But identify what you can change. There's nothing worse than you wasting hours and hours beating on something that you can't change. In other words, if I'm locked up in jail and I'm wrongfully or whatever, don't beat your head on the wall saying he's in jail and you get him out. I'm going to need you to figure out what you can do to get him out. If he needs $250 for bond, I'm going to need you to move over there and get the bond. I'm going to need you to stop saying, I've never wasted money to get what you got to do. I'm going to need you to change that. I'm going to need you to go do what you got to do. Right? I think you accept that the trial that you're going through, I need you to accept that it may be totally unfair. I need you to accept the fact that it's really going to be tough. Right? Because the worst thing we can do is pretend like something is not important to us. To act like it don't matter, right? But I just believe that you can't sit there and just, how we said, wield it by osmosis. People can hear you, and this problem resolves itself just off of your thought, your power of thought. That's huge to me. That's huge to me. And when we do that, Jason, what do? We develop those coping skills you was talking about, don't we?
Right.
So when you're all in your feelings, how do you deal with that, Jason? Tell everybody. How do you
I think you said it first. I think the first word is to recognize, right? Recognize that I'm just dealing with my feelings right now. And this is not my reality, but this is how I feel. Now, too many times what I see the wrong thing to do is to pretend like they don't exist, right? And, you know, I tell people all the time, God has blessed us with feelings. These things called feelings, he's given us to just really experience the world in ways that, you know, we're just so blessed to experience it, right? But same time, he didn't give us those feelings to replace them, to believe that, oh, my circumstances are so bad. Oh, this is my reality. But to be more like, hey, you know, this is just something God has blessed me with. And yeah, it is real in the sense that I'm experiencing it, but it's not my truth. And I think that's the part when we get in our feelings is to first recognize, you know, because, you know, a lot of people want to tell you, oh, no, you can't deny your feelings. And no one's saying deny your feelings. But what we are saying is keep them in perspective, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I said, just know they're a gift from God, but they don't have to be your God.
Man, that was a big one. That was a deep one right there. A gift from God, but not your God. Yeah, I got to understand it when we talk about feelings because my big thing about being in your feelings, like the little quick example I gave earlier, I was in my feelings. You know, when you start trying to build these coping mechanisms around your feelings, you got to understand that there's still planning involved, right? I believe that when you're going through a tough situation, the first thing you do is take care of self-preservation, meaning I'm going to need you to get up every morning. If you exercise, wash your face, put on some clean clothes, do your hair, eat a healthy breakfast, get a little exercise in you, right? And go to sleep. You know how some of us, we get these issues these terrible situations, and we forget to rest. Go rest. Go get you some sleep. And then after you rested, you're well fed, you're calmed down, and you can start to dig through those deep-seated problems. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us don't do it. What does that do for you? What does that do for you? When you start to dig through these problems, let's say you go see your mama, your brother, your sister, your uncle, or whomever. You go and hang around family. You go and hang around family. And then you learn what? What do you gain? You go spend some time with your loved ones. You try to have a little fun, a little enjoyment. Then what happens? You start to appreciate this family, don't you, Jason?
Yeah.
So what do you get out of that appreciation for the family? When you do that, what do you get?
I mean, like I said, it starts putting life in perspective, right? To know that you're loved and you know, that there's someone out there who loves you. And to your point, just reminding you, man, you're not in this by yourself, right? You're not doing this all by yourself. You've got people there who love you, who care for you, who just have your best interest in heart. And you know, as you start to experience that, you experience the blessing of God that the circumstances probably made you forget. And I think that's always a challenge. When you get in a situation where, you know, your circumstances kind of make you forget about, you know, I'm serving a great God. What am I doing, you know, messing around, worrying about this, worrying about that, right? It's to get out of that situation, I think it's key and it's so important to do. So, but I don't know, as we talk more and more about these trials and the things that we face, it's always good to like say, just to keep a focus on God and to know that He's there for you. But that it's key to really, you know, from mental health perspective, acknowledge the feeling. You know, and you know, too many times as Christians we want to do things like, well, I, you know, almost feel ashamed for feeling like we're feeling and for feeling burdened by the trial. And I think Job's a great story because even through some of the trials he faced, you heard his anguish. You heard him cry out to God. And that tells us it's okay to cry. You know, David's a great example. How many times in the Psalms did David really just, you know, open his heart and pour out his hurt, his pain, his fears? All those things he poured out to God in those moments. But in the end, he said, you're still God, and I trust you. And that's a good model how we operate, right? It's not ignoring the feelings and dismissing the blessing of feelings. It's accepting those feelings, acknowledging those feelings, you know, bringing those feelings to the altar of God, but then remembering where those feelings came from, and like who blessed you with those feelings, who gave you those feelings. It was God Himself, and to really just put it in perspective like that helps you kind of work through those trials. So yeah, we all, you know, someone said one time, and I love to say, either we're in the middle of a trial, we're coming out of a trial, or the worst part, we're about to go into one. But this is the life of Christians. It's always going to be a trial. But those trials, if done right, are some of the greatest catalysts for growth, and especially in your relationship with Christ and with God Himself, is to struggle through that, to persevere through that. And in the end, on the other side, to come to grips and terms with a greater appreciation, a closer relationship with God Himself. And I think, and that, for me, that's one of the reasons why I love trials so much, is because over my life I realized that I just get so much closer to God through those trials. and the relationship that I'm able to develop wouldn't have gotten this close if we hadn't gone through some things together. And that's not like our personal relationships, right? You know, we as we go through life and struggle in our life with certain people, that brings us closer together. And I think it's the same thing with God, that, you know, when we look at these trials, we're so focused on circumstances and how it impacts us, we sometimes miss the relationship, the relational growth we can have with God through it. And if we can stay focused like that and keep our eyes, you know, looking at that, you know, it helps put that trial in perspective and gives us a bit of excitement as we go through it. So, I think we lost Mr. Cedric there for a second. So, but no, you're fine, man. We're just chopping it up.
I had muted. I was coming to. I was actually talking, and I didn't know I hit the mute button by accident. But I was saying that I definitely understand what you're saying. What you were saying, but it reminded me of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul talks about his vision and the thorn. And one of the first things he started off saying was, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to vision and revelations from the Lord. And then he says, I know the man. So he said, I know the man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows. Yeah, he says, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. So that kind of just takes me to a place. And that was chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses, I think I read 1 through 6. The reason it strikes me into what you were saying, strikes me about that, is because, you know, when the challenges come, we need to face them. We have to face our challenges. Choosing to run from them, then we will get a lot less. I think that in the end, when we figure this thing out, and when I say figure, I leave that term loosely, but because Paul also says, I think it's verse 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the question that you got to ask yourself, I know we're about to close out here in just a couple of minutes, but the question I think everyone ought to ask themselves is, here it is. Hear me now. When was the last time you glorified in the name? Here it is. In your infirmities, when was the last time you glorified God while you were struggling through a situation? When was the last time you thought and you said, God, thank you for these difficult times? That's the question. That's the big question that I wanted to ask you. Do you ask yourself, who are you in Christ? Right? Ask yourself this. Who am I in Christ? Because these things are important. And the reason I say little simple things, they're important. You got to know who you are. Know where you come from. You want to get an understanding of where you're going. Know where you come from. You know, understand that everything that we go through in life is already predetermined. And let's not be miserable. You only get one life. You only get that one life. I just want to say, if you love God, and you're a part of those of us who are called, I'm telling you, God is going to work out the problem. I believe that. I believe at some point, your name is written there, God is going to bring you through. So, that being said, here on May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo. I didn't even realize it. Jason, did you have anything else you want to add? I know you contributed quite a lot tonight.
Just trials, the opportunities and trials. If we can just allow ourselves to get to manage through the emotions of the circumstance, we get to realize the beauty of the opportunity.
Yes. Amen to that. I would say amen to that. And I just want to encourage everybody, when you're going through trials, whatever it is, it could be something really tiny. Maybe you can't talk to your kids. Maybe it could be something a little bit bigger. Maybe mom, brother, sister, sick. Maybe it's bigger. You don't know where your job's going to go tomorrow. Maybe it's bigger than that. You're on your deathbed. You've been diagnosed with a terminal disease. Doesn't matter what it is. We've got to handle the problems and not allow them to handle us. Focus on God. Focus on his plan. Our plan needs to go around his plan. Whatever he says goes, and that's the way it needs to be. With that being said, I want to thank y'all for tuning in tonight. Again, May 5th, 2023. It's a wonderful Friday. You know what we say? Find something you love. Embrace it. Chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. This is Mr. Cedric and Jason tuning in tonight. God bless you. Sister Kimmy, can you cue us up? God bless you and have a great weekend.
Jay Rich on the beat.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
Lord, sometimes I question you, struggling, and I try my best to do the right thing, cause I'm obsessed with you, thinking spiritually, trying to get next to you, feeling far away, I feel all alone, I wonder when I sing a song, are you singing alone, in heaven, you told me I feel at home, follow righteousness, but sometimes I'm seeing it wrong, cross my heart, but I don't hope to die, forgive my pain. When I'm open, cry, you cry. Before you died on the cross for my sins. Cause you know I was lost, but then again, you told me I would find my way. That's why I cry some days before I pray. You delivered me from old ways. I'm reminiscing on the good old days. And some say, yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
Look, they say real men don't cry. That's like saying angels don't fly. Like saying that Lucifer don't lie. Like saying that soul flesh won't die. Nah, I don't wanna die too soon. It's like a werewolf without a full moon. Like a vampire with no blood. Like a Christian brother showing no love. Nah, none of that makes sense. Men don't cry, that don't make sense. Lord, I wanna cry now. And with the Holy Ghost on me to calm down. I was lost now. I'm found. Spiritually free but physically locked down. Waiting on my best years. I'm drenched in a pillow of wet tears. Some say that.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. But ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who washed away my sins so I can be reborn.
I got a lump in my throat, this is a tearjerker. Lord, I gotta go a little further. What Lucifer did was clear murder. He did things that I never ever heard of. And that's something to cry for. You're magnificent, something to die for. Perfection is something I strive for. Nonfiction, nothing to lie for. mother stand tall when she only 5'4". Your name is the only name I adore. Had a rough past, can't be one time. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Take communion with bread and wine, body and blood, Lord, you're forever mine. Some people give up instead of trying. Go ahead and cry, cause I cry.
Sometimes it's hard to keep faith when your life is in such a dark place. That's why I get on my knees and give praise to my Lord and Savior every day. Life is hard, but ain't nothing harder than being a father, giving up your son. Thank you, God, for the chosen one who